In El Paso, Texas, or Chuco, Texas, the lowrider is more than a weekend hobby. Lowriding is a way of life. It's not a subculture to the Mexican-American experience, but a part of the complex form of lived history and visual culture. It's a unique iteration of a deeply rooted tradition in automobility. You can currently learn all about lowrider culture in our region when you visit the El Paso Museum of History's Low and Slow, Lowrider Culture on the Border, and now virtual exhibition. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. Here to tell us all about it is curator Erica Marin. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Thank you for having me, Marina. It's very exciting. We do have a virtual opening of Low and Slow. That's about lowrider culture on the border. What that means is basically people. It's about community and people. It's about our history and what we see every day. So I guess our number one priority here at the museum is always to reflect the population and the people who live here. We want people to walk in and see themselves.
Right.
So that's part of that. So we're so excited to share this because it's been a beautiful collaboration with the lowriding community.
And that's the thing. I mean, these guys are really, really nice guys. So I'm sure, what did that go like when you called them and said, hey, I'm Erica from the museum and I want to do this exhibit on lowrider culture?
They were kind of blown away, but then they were very excited. I contacted the Lowrider Association. I didn't quite know how I was going to begin this collaboration, or I didn't want to intrude because it's our community, but it's their community as well.
Right. I mean, they're the ones with the cars. They're the ones that are doing it.
Definitely. So I reached out to El Paso Lowrider Association, 2915 Cruising. And everybody was just so helpful and kind and willing to participate.
So tell us about that, because before you and I started recording, you had a whole other plan. And I can see where like it would have been this amazing thing. But to your credit, it's beautiful. I mean, the way the exhibition has turned out now is beautiful. But will you walk us through the journey of this exhibition coming together in the middle of a pandemic?
Sure. Well, this was supposed to open the last week of April, and we had a whole thing planned. There was going to be a show and shine. We had gotten permission to close the streets, to utilize Cleveland Square. We were going to get Mike G out here with the oldies. We purchased merch to sell. I mean, it was going to be Sunday cruising, Sunday in the park, that kind of thing. And and the pandemic hit, and that didn't happen. So we had to put some of our projects on the back burner and not look at them for a little bit. But then come July, when we thought things were going to get a little bit better, we started reaching out to the community again after connecting the first time. And then we lost a little bit of momentum. We picked it up at the end of summer. And little by little, we just got the lenders to come in and all these wonderful car clubs and people that I've met. It's just been one hell of a ride.
For real, right? Like literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
Hey, you mentioned merch, and I think you're wearing one of the shirts. How do we get our hands on those?
As soon as we open physically, we will have merch for people to purchase.
All right, sign me up.
Absolutely. We have totes and t-shirts.
That's so cool. Okay, so take us back to, or teach us a little bit about lowrider culture. You've done your research. How did it come to be here in El Paso? And more about, like, when do you think that started here?
Well, as you know, El Paso is called El Chuco, and that's part of our heritage, the Pachuco, Pachuca heritage. And that started in the late 30s. Some say around World War II. As far as when lowriders came to El Paso, I've had several interviews with several members of the lowrider community, and some believe it originated in California. Others say, no, well, it just originated and it started popping up in places. And they consider kind of Hispaniola, New Mexico, like the capital of lowriders. But nevertheless, these types of celebrations with cars or using cars as more than just transportation kind of started World War II, post-World War II. people had more money. It was working class, getting your little carcachita, your little ranfla, and then fixing it up and cruising.
And that's just, I mean, evolved to what we see today. I mean, these cars are works of art. Some of them, I'm like, how do you even drive them? They're so low. And then, you know, like the logistics of it, what's it like to own a lowrider based on what you've learned from talking to these guys?
To them, it's this source of pride and kind of like this rejection of mainstream idea of fixing cars or souping cars up. Instead of high, they take the car low. I have a quote in the gallery from Cesar Chavez where he explains how this was their answer to, or their way of contesting the hot rods. You want to go really, really fast? We're going to go low and slow.
Is that really where it came from?
Well, yes and no.
Yeah.
I'm just improvising, but definitely he said that about the rods and the reason that they did low riding.
And what is that connection specifically to the music? There is a clear connection between those El Paso style oldies period and the lowrider culture.
I've asked, and the answer that I think the most general answer that I get is the nostalgia of the origins.
Yeah.
Low riding and 1950s, 60s, that, so it's like the origin. So oldies are very nostalgic.
Yeah.
And even for us, right, with our parents and our grandparents, they're incredibly nostalgic. So they keep that alive. So it's kind of interesting how you keep history and a moment in time alive through music and how it connects to, you know, the culture of low riding.
So when did car clubs start to become a thing around here? Or how did the club part of it?
So the club part of it, I hear, originated in California, and that was started in the 60s. One car club in particular that's one of the older car clubs is the Imperials Car Club. They originated in California and they brought it here. And it's kind of like a big deal. Like, everybody knows about how, like, California started the car club movement.
And then it made its way here. How many car clubs are in El Paso? Do you know, more or less, más o menos?
Oh, goodness. Well, we printed out like the columns. We have like the columns of all the car clubs in the gallery, as well as they do, as we do here in Lincoln Park. I would say definitely more than 50.
Wow.
Yeah. A good deal.
All right, now take us to the car, because I think like folks are putting this together. Like, there's a car show every Sunday, it seems like, or at least there was pre these times. But there's more to it than just showing off your car, right? I mean, they're raising funds, they're doing their colectas. Will you share what that is all about?
Well, what I really found interesting is some connections with how working class actually come together to help each other. And that's actually a really far stretching kind of tradition that's like rooted way back, hundreds of years, right? In just in the Catholic Church and for parishioners, people that were really, really poor would create these confraternities and put money in and help each other out. Well, I kind of made a connection that this is happening here too with the lowriding community. Whatever it is, if there's friend that needs a kidney or money for chemo, or we're going to do the American Cancer Society, they connect their car shows to these forms of fundraising. And I found that really interesting because, of course, people like to kind of sometimes, those low riders, you know, they're, you know, riffraff or
right.
And there's like these blanket generalizations of what people are, but obviously they're nothing like that. It's so different. It's people that organized car clubs that come from all walks of life. You can have attorneys in there. You can have store managers. You can have doctors. Tons of people.
Why do you think the generalizations happen the way that they do? I mean, you and I think we're a little close to it. So, I mean, we know that these guys are super sweet, super cool. And yeah, if you're in trouble, they're like, we'll just have a car show and, somehow help. But yeah, where does that come from?
I mean, it has a lot to do with too how brown working class has been kind of portrayed sometimes in society, and that includes like World War II and the Zoot Suit Riots. The reason people were so upset, or I would say communities would be so upset about like the Zoot Suiters, was because during World War II, people weren't supposed to use as much fabric because you need to save fabric because everything was rationed, right? And a zoot suit was just the opposite. You used tons of fabric. You used a lot. You were flashy, flamboyant in a time where what was expected of you socially was to kind of pull it back. And they were loud and dancing, and they'd do their thing. And so from, I think, partly from that point on, people kind of got a rap for, being traviesos.
And I mean, there is an element of rebelliousness. I mean, just
Of
alone,
course.
So let's talk about that because it's not like everybody's an angel, right? But like,
No.
it does have roots in rebellion. But I don't know. I guess how I think part of what you're doing is humanizing a lot of folks for hopefully people that are have been curious or want to know more, but. I guess I don't know what I'm getting at other than,
If people aren't from here, for example, or if they are, but they do not really intersect or interact with people in the low-riding community, they may have another perception of what people are about, right? And so the whole idea is to one, say, hey, you know what? This is important in our time. It's history. If we have an opportunity to show the best that we can from this community and what they've contributed to our region, then this is the way to do it, through an exhibition, if once we open.
But for now, tell us, how can we see the exhibition virtually? Because you've done a beautiful job putting this together.
Thank you. You can find this exhibition, the video of it, on EPMH, well, on our Facebook page and on our Instagram. So go to El Paso Museum of History on both Instagram and Facebook, and you can find a link to the virtual exhibition for now.
For now. So, what you're saying is we might still have a car show and Mikey G in the park possibly in the future. Is
Yes,
that what
because this is a funny thing about us right now as a museum, is you kind of don't, of course, when it's not priority to be thinking about like these things, entertainment factor or whatever, when we're going through something as tough as COVID, right? But the fact is that we do have a mandate to produce, because there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and we have to be part of that light, and we got to be ready, set, go. And so when we open those doors at that time, you will see this exhibition along with everything else. And there's going to be a big celebration, because it's going to be a big deal that we're finally open again.
I love it. I love it. So for now, we can experience Low and Slow via virtually. If you go to the Museum of History Facebook page or Instagram, there's a link to it. But you heard it here, people. There will be a party when this whole thing is over. Today, my guest has been curator at the El Paso Museum of History, Erica Marin, and we've been talking about Low and Slow, lowrider culture on the border. Thank you for coming to State of the Arts.
Thank you.